Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Name 193 in Vishnu Sahasranama is Hamsa. Hamsa means a swan. So Lord Vishnu is called Hamsa because he's like a swan. That's right, isn't it? That makes sense? No. Swan is called a swan because he's like Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the original Hamsa. This Hamsa avatar, who's been described already previously under another name. Specific quality of a swan, which is often mentioned in Vedic literature, is the ability to separate the milk from a mixture of milk and water. In other words, to take out the essence. Seen also the Hamsa avatar particularly is giving knowledge. There are several avatars of the Lord who their main contribution in this world is to give knowledge. Hayagriva avatar, Kapila avatar, Hamsa avatar is one of them. And particularly Hamsa avatar is noted for being able to give the essence. That's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the four Kumaras, although they're greatly knowledgeable, they were confused about one point. That this saying that, well, the senses and the sense objects are so intimately connected, and how can we disassociate them? We have to disassociate them if we're to be liberated from this world. But how can you? Because they're just completely interrelated. So they went to Lord Brahma and asked him the question, and he also got confused, and he couldn't work out how to answer it. And then they saw a swan had appeared in their midst. So he gave them the answer, which in summary is that you're asking the wrong question, or you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. The real thing is me, or the real thing is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you focus your attention on Him, then everything becomes easy, everything becomes understood. It's not so much a matter of separating the senses from the sense objects, but knowing which sense object to focus it on. That's Krishna, and to understand everything in relationship with Krishna. So, apart from that, the swan is noted for several qualities. So from our perspective, we may say this, that Vishnu is like the swan. That's because we've seen a swan, but we haven't seen Vishnu. Here in India, you don't see swans. What is called a haas in Bengali is a duck or a goose. Maybe not there, yeah. It's described in the Himalayas, at Manasarova. But maybe not there now also. But in the unfortunate country where I was unfortunately born due to my misfortune of being in this material world at all, this time around, I was born in England, and you'll see they're very common there. I believe it's illegal to kill them, which is quite a rule for England, because you can kill pretty much anything else that moves apart from human beings. Legally, you can kill them in England. You're not supposed to kill dogs also. Dogs, cats, and swans probably are the only things exempt from killing. So they're very graceful, beautiful, spot white, lily white, swan white. In Australia, you get black swans. They look the same, but they're completely black color. I've seen them in the zoo only in England. Otherwise, swans are very graceful, and they seem to be very reserved and aristocratic in their behavior. So they're withdrawn somewhat. You'll see in groups of two, that means Mr. and Mrs. So they remain together for life. So it's very pleasant to see them sitting on the water. So the idea is that they can put they have a long, thin neck, which they can twist it around a lotus stem. That's also said about the swans. Once I saw a swan that was completely red. It was covered in blood. Seems it had been in fight with another swan. So they're very graceful and peaceful, but they might fight also sometimes. Generally in groups of two. Sometimes they're two groups of two together, like that. So the swan takes out everything that is good and leaves behind all that is unwanted or superfluous. So devotees are also supposed to be like a swan. They're supposed to take out the essence. That's one description that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given of a great devotee is Saragrahi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there are two kinds of devotees. One is called Saragrahi, who accepts the essence. And the other is called Bharavahi, means who carries a weight. So those who carry the weight of material desires and material conceptions, they cannot be a very high grade devotee. They're still their consciousness is still focused on this material world. But a Saragrahi, one who accepts the essence, he sees in all this world, so many things are going on, but he doesn't become concerned with that. He's concerned with Krishna. Maybe concerned to the extent that we are in this world, we have to practice Krishna consciousness in this world. So we have to try to create an atmosphere within our own society of devotees where everyone can peacefully and happily prosecute Krishna consciousness together. But really our interest is not in this world. Our interest is on Krishna. So, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he's concerned with the essence, not with the externals. And also, alpo seva bahumane atta prajanta prasad. That's another quality of gratefulness has been discussed in relationship to the Supreme Lord. So this stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna shabhav bhakta naloy aparad alpo seva bahumane atta prajanto prasad. Means that it is Krishna's nature that even if a devotee of his makes some aparad, some offense, he's not serving properly, then he doesn't notice that or see that. But a little service from the devotee he considers to be very great. Alpo seva bahu mane. And he gives mercy to the devotee. To what extent? Up to the extent of giving himself to the devotee. So like this, the Supreme Lord, he looks for the good in others, not the bad. Of course, as Vishnu, he has to see the bad also, but that is more, that service is outsourced to Yamaraj. He has to see all the different demigods, they have to see. He's also seen. But the job of punishing people in this mature world, or even giving pious benefits, because that's also external. Going to the heavenly planets, that's also external to our real interest. So Krishna, he sees the essence. If anyone does a little service, he's very grateful. The Srila Prabhupada, there's a well-known anecdote about him, that Srila Prabhupada, when he was lecturing in the first ISKCON center at 26 Second Avenue in New York City. At that time, that area was frequented by what are called bums. A bum is a person who's completely useless, an alcoholic. In India, we call someone a drunkard if they drink alcohol. But the meaning of, you see, in the West, pretty much everyone drinks alcohol. But a drunkard means someone who's habitually intoxicated, or who regularly becomes drunk. And an alcoholic is someone who's addicted. They just go on drinking and drinking. And especially the bums up, they may drink methylated spirits, which is methyl alcohol, very poisonous, whereas ethyl alcohol is only mildly poisonous in comparison, because methyl alcohol is much cheaper. Actually, ethyl alcohol should also be cheap, but the government puts a lot of tax on it. So, but methyl alcohol just uses paint thinner. Anyway, or they may drink cheap wine. So, and they're, even when they're, even on the rare occasions when they're not drunk, these bums are, their brain is so frittered away by constant continual intoxication that at that time also they're not in good working, brains are not in good working order. And they'll be all dirty and old ragged clothes, and they may fall down and collapse in the middle of the sidewalk. So the word bum is, it may sound rude, but it's an appropriate description. So one of these bums came in when Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and he put two rolls of toilet paper at the back of the room. He mumbled something and went out. He didn't know what he was doing. He's, you know, half mad. And Srila Prabhupada, who never used toilet paper in his life, he mentioned that, you see, now he's done some service. He's done some devotional service. He's offered something for using in Krishna's service. How you would use it, I don't know exactly. But Srila Prabhupada saw that, accepting the essence. So, another interpretation or understanding is that han means to kill. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. The possessor of this body, the soul, is never killed, nor can he kill. So han sa can be short for samsara. So who destroys our incarceration in this world of birth and death. You like that? Hansa, he's going to free you from birth and death. Another meaning. Hanti gachati sarva sarireshu iti va hansaha. He moves in all beings and all bodies, and therefore he is called Hansa. So he's present in everyone. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtaha. Krishna is present in everyone, and that's another reason why he's called Hansa. So the next name, 194, Suparnaha. Su means nice, good, and Parna means, who knows what Parna means? Anyone? There's a name for Parvati, she's called Aparna. Yeah, well, the Aparna is a different meaning to this one, yeah. It means, yeah, feathers, or in this case of Aparna, Parvati, it means leaf, no leaf. She wasn't even eating a leaf when she was doing tapasya. That's a common name, huh? Aparna. Difficult for little boys to stay. So Suparna means beautiful feathers. So that's another name for Hansa avatar. And another meaning, because the Sanskrit can be broken up in different ways, is one who can lead people to the other shore across the ocean of samsara. So in that way, he's similar to Hansa also, in the Hansa who kills or destroys samsara. In another way, Krishna's Hansa also, killing samsara, in as much as he winds up the whole material creation at the time of Mahapralayam. So, who has charming feathers? In Srimad Bhagavatam, well, he's both in Bhagavatam and Gita, when Krishna is describing his vibhutis, then Garuda is mentioned. That's a name for a common name of Garuda is Suparna. So, in Bhagavatam, Suparno ham patatrinam. Among all the nicely feathered birds, Krishna says, I am Patatri Raj. The king of the birds is Garuda. And then, also in Gita, Vainateyascha Pakshinam. Vainateyascha Pakshinam. Among the birds, I am Vainateya, the son of Vinata. So, the mother of Garuda is Vinata. And her rival was Kadru. So, Vinata had two sons. One was Garuda and the other is Aruna. And Kadru had many and they were all snakes. So anyway, that's another story. So, in this way, Suparna is understood to mean that the best of everything that exists. Just like among the birds, Garuda is the best. Mriganam cha mrigendro ham. Among the animals, Krishna is the king of the animals, namely the lion, and so on. Stavaranam himalaya. Among immovable objects, he is the Himalayas. So, another meaning, one who has beautiful wings, and with those wings, he carries one to the other shore of the ocean of samsara. Then, also, the famous statement from the Mundaka Upanishad. Dva Suparna.
Sayuja Sakaya Samanam Vriksham Parishvajate, that there are two birds on the tree, and one is eating the fruit and the other is simply observing. So in this sense, Krishna is the bird who's on the tree with the jiva, who's also like a bird, but Krishna is just observing. That's all. So, one more name I'll go through now, 195. Bhujagottamaha. So, Bhujaga means a snake. Is Bhu, the earth, he moves on the earth. Or it can mean Bhujaga, means that he moves by his arms. Not exactly arms, but he doesn't have any legs. So these are, and Uttama, the best of all the snakes, is Anantashesha. Or it can mean that he is the master of Anantashesha. It means he who is above the snake, in the sense, means the best of the snakes, also means who is above the snake. So he's also reclining on Adi Shesha, so in that sense he's above the snake also. It can also mean that he is above that snake-like propensity of materialistic people. The snake is by nature envious, even without any cause, will bite someone and kill someone, and very dangerous and can't be trusted. So this is the propensity of materialistic people. They're interested in themselves, they want their own, what they consider to be their benefit. They don't care that someone else will be harmed, but they'll just bite. So a snake is very dangerous. But Krishna is completely above such low propensities. We should never think that, we should never equate Krishna with any ordinary person. In all respects, he is superior. And the devotee should also be like this. He should not exhibit snake-like propensities. Devotee should be like a swan, not like a snake. Of course, I was saying that swans also fight sometimes, but that's materialistic swan. It's a snake in the material world. In this material world, everything is flawed. That a common example is given that the lotus, no, gold has no smell, and the chandan tree that attracts snakes. So everything has some fault. And although the rose is not indigenous to India, we can also say the rose looks beautiful, smells beautiful, but it has thorns. As Shakespeare noted, there's no rose without a thorn. In other words, in this material world, everything nice has something not nice. But Krishna is all nice. Nothing not nice, unless you're a demon. Then you might not see him as nice. Anyway, this narration is not for the demons. This is for the devotees. So, Bhagavan rests on Adi Shesha, who is the best of the serpents. Adi Shesha is the best of the serpents. What is that? Sarpanam, what is that in Bhagavad Gita? Vasuki, yeah, what is it? There are two, there's one Naganam and sarpa, so two are given. I can't remember either of them. Anantas chasmi naganam. That's it. So two are given. Now another meaning that's been given by that might seem unconventional, but it's given with quotes from Shruti to that this also means that Bhuja Gautama, because he's the best of all that bend and move, that bends and moves, which includes air, because air doesn't move in a straight line. The wind is always moving here and there. And birds also, they don't fly in a straight line exactly. Although there is a saying, as the crow flies. But most birds, they'll either go up and down as they're flying, or they go a little bit like this. So, however fast the bird may fly, however fast the wind may move, Bhagavan is already there before they get there. Because he's everywhere. So, that's another interpretation of that name. Even the planets are going so fast. The scientists say that the Earth moves at what speed? Some thousands of miles per second or something. So they say. But Krishna's faster than them. So, Hare Krishna. Any question about this? All the qualities in this material world are perverted reflections of the qualities of Krishna. What is the origin of envy? Well, I just posted something on BVK Sangha about that about 3 days ago, where Srila Prabhupada says that hating is also in the Supreme Lord. But that's also beneficial, because everything about him is beneficial. So, even though he kills many demons, he does them good by doing so. So he feels enmity toward Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Shishupal, but ultimately his enmity comes out as good. He doesn't, even his envy is beneficial. Whereas in the material world, even the love is a cause of harm. Mundane love.
Just now you said that any little servant to the Supreme Lord will be recognized by him. So, my father-in-law, before passing away, has done little service in the temple. So, when the third day comes, there is one of his son-in-law should provide feast. So, I was just wondering how the feast will come, but ultimately, the feast has arranged by temple. So does he get a body to complete his devotional service?
If someone does a little devotional service, will he get a body to complete his devotional service? Well, the case that you're describing, it doesn't seem that he took up bhakti very seriously. So the question of completing his devotional service doesn't really arise when he hasn't fully taken to it. But certainly, whatever he's done will be for his benefit. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatin tata gacchati. One who does good work, they never attain durgati. They never attain a bad destination. And whatever service he's done to Krishna or his devotees, that is the best thing he's done.
throughout this life or even many, many millions of lives before that. So certainly he'll have the opportunity to do more. It's all auspicious. Krishna is all auspicious, and any contact with him in any way is all auspicious. Still, we should not offend him. We should not offend Krishna or his devotees. So, Hare Krishna. Any question from ladies? No? Yeah. Dovetailing envy in Krishna's service? Well, we should be angry and about people who are envious of Krishna. What is that? Krodha bhakta dveshi gane. We should exhibit anger against those who are inimical toward devotees. So envy means a bad feeling toward. So yeah, we shouldn't feel happy about those who are cheating others. If we, just to hear the name, we should become upset. If someone's cheating others, claiming themselves to be God, leading others away from devotional service. If they change, then we can accept that they've changed. We don't hate them intrinsically, but we are against their rascaldom. And we should note that they are rascals. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.